House Education Finance Committee will come to order. Folks, please take your seats and good morning. We are going to move right to the minutes first, and then I know Representative Creasy may have to duck out, so I wanted to give an update for next week before I forget at the end of this. So next week we're going to be going through several bills. It's my hope to bring back House File 5 on Tuesday, House File 44 on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we'll have MDE come in and walk through the governor's budget. So with that, let's move to the minutes. Representative, let's see, Purcell, have you had a chance, or Representative Sensenmayer, have you had a chance to look at the minutes? Would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I motion to move the minutes from January 18th.
Representative Sensenmayer moves the motions for the minutes for January 18th be adopted. Any questions?
Spelling question. For the fourth testifier, Mati Mattson, is it three A's?
It's two. Representative Purcell, I am so glad we have you here. Thank you so much. This does go into the public record for in perpetuity for those who are very interested.
Sorry,
so it's
can
good
I make
that
one
we get
other
it right.
Correction
absolutely.
I do believe that Kalia Pringle did not.
You are right. She did not end up testifying. So now we'll start adding stuff in there just to see if you can find it. with that, I'm seeing no questions. All those in favor of the minutes. Adopting the minutes as corrected, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those opposed, no. Minutes are adopted. Thank you all for that. And today we're going to continue with our trend of hearing from students from across our state. Our committee is focused on making sure students have what they need to be successful in our schools. So students were asked to keep in mind when they came to testify today two questions. One was, what are the most urgent things you feel like you and your peers need from your school communities right now? And the other one was, what do you feel like you need to prepare you for the challenges and opportunities that await you when you graduate? So it's my hope to have time for our folks to ask our students questions once we've heard all the testimony. I know one of the remote testifiers has to get to work, but if folks can stick around for us to ask questions, that would be great. And with that, I'm going to call up the first testifier, Andrew Wesson, and then next up will be Oscar Wolf. So once you get settled, could you state your name for the record, and then you can proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Drew Wesson, and I am a junior at Washburn High School in South Minneapolis. Thank you for this opportunity. I've been a public school student since kindergarten. These past few years have been super chaotic. Many students are feeling abnormal amounts of stress, anxiety, and exhaustion. Our teachers are feeling some of these symptoms too. Over the past few years, students and educators across the country, the state, and my school district have experienced much more than ever anticipated or expected. From the COVID-19 pandemic to a teacher strike in my school district, it's been an eventful couple of years. With disruptive learning forms such as daily distance learning mostly in the rearview mirror, many challenges and concerns still are looming over our heads. I know there are many issues that still need to be addressed, but one common issue that needs immediate action is the underfunding of education. I know that my district is projecting major budget shortfalls within the next few years, and we aren't alone. Many other districts in the metro area are expecting this too. One intention of our education system is to provide excellence for all students, but it is underfunded and not supported, and therefore it is challenging to reach this goal. It shouldn't be. Our educators and support staff are overworked and underpaid. Teachers are leaving and students are too. And each time a student leaves, the associated per pupil funding also leaves, resulting in districts and schools with even less money than what they started with. As a result, underfunding will become more and more apparent in the daily lives of students across the state. We can already see this. Our class sizes are constantly overcrowded, and there is a serious lack of support staff, among other vital roles that successful education systems require to achieve high levels of success. My fear, and the fear of my peers and future generations, is it will only get worse. The wishes of students has needs like robust mental health support, additional college and career readiness support, smaller class sizes, technology, extracurriculars, and much more, but we cannot address this due to the long history of inadequate funding. I urge you to take immediate action and support our schools with funding that can help guarantee the success and achievements of all our great students across the state. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for such concise testimony. I wish some of our adults could do that as well. That was wonderful. Next up, we have Oscar Wolf. And then on deck is Avery Adams and then Maddie Steele. Or Steele. So please correct me if I'm mispronouncing your name. So state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Oscar Wolf, a senior at Hopkins High School over in the West Metro. I also serve as a member of the Hopkins Legislative Action Coalition, a group that advocates on behalf of Hopkins specifically, but also public schools throughout all of Minnesota. Through that role, I've interviewed a lot of students on some of these issues that are affecting us. So I'd like to share not only my own perspective, but the perspective that I've gotten from other students and classmates that I've spoken to. The first issue I'd like to talk about is mental health. When I talk to my classmates about mental health, I get almost the same answer every single time. Students feel disconnected, and they do not feel that our schools are providing the necessary resources. It's become pretty frighteningly normal for classmates, for students right now, to be depressed, to have anxiety. It's not shocking for somebody to be suffering from a mental illness. And for a lot of those students, getting help outside of school just isn't an option, whether that's because of cost or because of family concerns. Oftentimes, school is the only route they have to get the mental health resources that they need. About a year and a half ago, I was in French class with one of my friends who has suffered from mental illness. And sort of out of the blue, she looked at me with sort of panicked eyes, and I could tell something was wrong. And she was able to sort of whisper out the words, "Oscar, I'm having a panic attack." So I flagged down my French teacher, and we got her to the nurse's office, but there was no mental health specialist there that day. So my friend, in the middle of her panic attack, had to wait in an empty room for about an hour and a half until they were able to get someone to help her. So while getting mental health resources is extremely important for the long-term needs of students, it's also a very urgent and immediate issue. The next issue I'd like to touch on is nutrition, school lunches, school breakfast. A very high proportion of students at Hopkins and students all throughout Minnesota are on free and reduced lunch, meaning they're getting aid in order to be able to afford their meals at school. While it's great that they're able to get that sort of aid, there are some pretty big flaws in the system. The first just being how complex the application is. A lot of the students who are unable to afford lunch are coming from immigrant families where their parents might be unfamiliar with English. So this application process is pretty daunting and often just not possible. We also don't know the home situations of a lot of these students. They may have parents that are unwilling or simply unable to fill out these forms and able to get them free and reduced lunch. And this puts the students in a really awkward and sometimes embarrassing situation. It's uncomfortable to have to type in your PIN number for lunch in front of all your friends, not knowing whether or not it's going to go through. And of course, this has huge implications on the academic success of students. It is massively detrimental to be sitting in the middle of an algebra test and not know whether or not you're going to be able to have lunch that day. So this is another issue where during COVID, we actually did have free lunch for everyone. We had universal funding for school lunches, and these issues were temporarily alleviated. For a while, these were not problems. So I think it's time to take that temporary change and make it permanent by funding universal school lunch for all students. The last issue I'd like to touch on is something that I'm sure many of you with your educational backgrounds are aware of, which is understaffing in schools. It is really obvious when you walk into a school right now that we are short on paraprofessionals, we're short on substitute teachers, we're short on everyday teachers, we are short on almost everyone, and the one that I want to specifically point out is counselors. At Hopkins, we have one college and career readiness counselor for 1,500 students. There's one. Our department is one person. We also have two regular counselors, the ones responsible for schedule changes, responsible for sending letters to colleges. We have two for each grade of 500 students. So our our counselor to student ratio is about 1 to 250. It's actually a bit higher than that. It's just not possible for counselors to give students the appropriate attention to prepare them for post-secondary success when they have that many students to attend to. If we want the academic strength of Minnesota schools to translate into benefits for the workforce, we need more staffing in our schools, especially with counselors. On behalf of myself and on behalf of students throughout Minnesota, I want to thank you for prioritizing student voice on these issues that so directly affect us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next up, we have got Avery Adams, and then Maddie Steele, and then Maya Disher. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Avery Adams. I come before you today as a junior at Stillwater Area High School, a member of the Peer Helper Support Program, the founder and president of our school's chapter, Bring Change to Mind, which is a national organization focused on students' mental health, and a leader of the Mental Health Coalition. Through these activities, I see how prominent mental health issues are and how it's affecting those around me. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, 57,000 Minnesotans aged 12 to 17 have depression. 59.3% of those did not receive any care in the last year. Students need our help. I have a passion for mental health, and for a long time, I've been focused on this. I do what I can to address and improve these issues within my school, but we need support to truly make the changes we intend to make on a larger scale. I believe that mental health should be treated equally to physical health. Teachers receive training to deal with physical health issues like CPR training, seizures, and general first aid, but lack adequate training for mental health issues. This training is necessary for teachers to be able to properly respond in the safest and most effective way possible. Due to a recent increase in mental health struggles, it's inevitable that a teacher will experience a student having a panic attack or some sort of emotional crisis. A teacher having the training and resources to respond is crucial. In addition to teachers having that training, all schools should have adequate staffing of mental health professionals, such as social workers and psychologists. These professionals need to be held to a high standard and should be selectively hired. Students count on them, and far too often we hear stories about them not providing what students need. Our school finally got a social worker this year, and after speaking with her, she's overwhelmed with how needed she is around the school. All schools should have a sufficient amount of mental health professionals to ensure that all needs can be met. Education for students about mental health is another important component of destigmatizing mental health problems. It should be mandatory that schools actively engage in these conversations. Even something as small as all teachers showing their students a video about mental health and how common it is to struggle and how to seek help increases the chance that students are comfortable to seek help. The biggest goal is to have resources available and promote them in a way that makes students feel comfortable utilizing them. It's pivotal that administration is also educated about mental health and is able to understand how these issues can affect a student's attendance and their ability to work. When a student is struggling, getting them help is much more effective than just punishing them. Students with mental health issues are similar to students who are sick with a physical illness. Sometimes, just staying home and resting is what is needed. Giving the option of mental health concern to excuse attendance would be a big step in the right direction towards normalizing and properly supporting students with mental health concerns. From what I've seen, these are the most important things we can do to help high school students succeed. Thank you for your time and this opportunity.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next up, we have Maddie Steele, Maya Disher, and then Addison Marrier.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Maddie Steele, and I'm a senior at Stillwater Area High School, and I truly appreciate the opportunity for me to be here today to advocate on behalf of students. In school, I'm a part of Peer Helpers, which is students advocating for mental health resources and talking with other students about mental health. I'm also a part of Trust Club, which is a group of students with and without disabilities coming together to implement inclusion within our school. I plan to become a teacher, as I have a huge passion for working with kids, and I can't wait to teach. My why and the main reason I am here today is a result of my love for working with other people and my desire to give back to my community. By being here today, I hope to improve the conditions in my school and all schools across the state of Minnesota. One resource that I believe needs to be implemented in all schools in Minnesota is a new schedule. My school currently runs on a 6-period day, which greatly limits the opportunities for internships, exploring careers, and taking essential classes. An idea that I think would really help students with their mental health is making a health class mandatory as a freshman in high school, and that would really allow students to learn ways to cope with their mental health and deal with it in a healthy way. And it's just as important as any other core class. Due to our limited schedule, many students take it in their later years of high school and miss out on resources and discussions they would have needed in previous years. Without changing our schedule and allowing students the flexibility to try new things and take classes that benefit their health, we are doing kids a serious disservice. Additionally, adjusting the standard bell schedule would allow for more time in class and reap countless benefits for students. Some of these benefits could include taking 21st century skills, like personal finance or speech and communication. This expanded schedule would allow for more engaging classes and opportunities for students. Next, increasing the staff and mental health resources in our schools would provide drastic benefits, as not many schools are equipped to deal with students who have serious mental health needs. Professionals such as social workers, therapists, or licensed psychologists need to be implemented in all schools as a resource for students to use when they need it most. Another crucial staff position would be a cultural liaison, as we have seen more diversity in our schools. They would be able to ensure our schools have safe and respectful learning environments for all. Having somebody educated on these topics regarding racial differences would be so vital to have in all of our schools across the state. We must also be making the inclusion of all kinds a top priority as well, as every student deserves to have the same schooling experience, and every student deserves to feel supported within their school community. My time in Trust Club has taught me the need for inclusion and support within our school. In my future, I want to teach elementary school, as I've always shown a deep passion for working with kids. And while this has always been my dream, it truly does scare me to go into a profession where people are fleeing quickly and not being shown the respect they so clearly deserve by being underpaid and working in less than ideal conditions. My hope is that we can improve our schools and education system to encourage future generations to become teachers and get the respect they deserve. In all, these are the things that I believe need the most immediate attention in our schools to best benefit future generations. As current students, we have seen the firsthand deficit in our schools and the urgent need to improve mental health resources and make our schools a more welcoming and safe place to be. And again, I truly appreciate the time I've gotten to share with you to share my hopes for education. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for wanting to be a teacher. Next up, we have Maya Disher, and then we'll have Addison Marrier, and then Zeke Soto. Please proceed. State your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. My name is Maya Disher, and I'm a senior at Stillwater Area High School. I stand before you here today because I would like to discuss the lack of mental health resources within our schools. My story is that when I was in seventh grade, I was severely bullied as a child. I was told I should end my life because no one liked me. I was called cruel nicknames besides my name, such as Bones, because of how small I was, and even racial slurs by my peers and even my teachers. It got so bad to the point where my parents pulled me from school for 3 weeks because I was actually scared to enter the building. I already suffered from anxiety, but later that year I was diagnosed with depression and an eating disorder. My mental health had a rapid decline, and as someone who is very ambitious and passionate, especially about her education, I lost that spark and motivation to keep going within school. Since seventh grade, I have changed schools 5 times in the past 6 years, each one for the same reasons. I look back at my time at each of the schools I attended, and there are many things that I wish could have gone differently for me in order to help me succeed later on in my future. During my time here today, I want to specifically talk about mental health education for our teachers and our counselors and how to properly staff our counselors that aren't there for more than just academic counseling. There are so many ways that schools should be utilizing the student-teacher relationship to combat mental health issues within the classroom. We spend 5+ hours a week with each one of our teachers, and that gives us enough time to be able to create a very strong and positive relationship with them. Students are less likely to reach out to a counselor for help because they lack a relationship with them that students have with teachers. If all teachers were properly trained to see the different signs a student is struggling with mental health, that alone can make a huge difference. I have one teacher in my school who is an amazing mentor to me and an advocate for mental health as well. Even she sometimes struggles to see the signs of when one of her students is actually struggling. She told me once that you are more likely to have a student reach out to a teacher for help after that teacher has actually shown an interest in the well-being of the student. If teachers are able to be the first ones to break the ice and break down those walls students are putting up and show and tell, break down this wall that students are struggling and let them know that they are there for sports, a student is more likely to actually use this resource and reach out for help. It is a protocol that when students usually have exhausted the help of a trusted teacher, it is recommended that that teacher sends them to a counselor. The problem with this is that counselors supplied by high schools are not qualified to help a student with any problem besides academics. I did have a counselor that I went to talk about my classes for college counseling. I got on the topic of two C's I had on my record from freshman year and how I was very disappointed in myself. I told her the reason I let those grades dip was because I was struggling with my mental health at that point, and I was actually hospitalized because of it. The class being AP courses, it was really difficult to keep up, including when you're not able to sit in and listen to the lectures. Her response to me was that I can explain to my college applications why I had those C's and hope they overlook the minor dip in my academic record, but then she followed it by saying that college admissions would more likely use that as a reason why I shouldn't be accepted into their college, because if I can't handle my mental health as a freshman, I won't be able to handle it in the college curriculum. To have a counselor who I didn't even go to as a mental health resource, but as a college counselor, tell me that being hospitalized for my depression isn't a good enough excuse to slack off in school, and that is not okay. I hope I never hear of another student receiving so-called counseling like that. I can't speak for every student, but I know I'm not the only one who works so hard in school. I constantly have to remind myself to breathe every day in order to keep myself from having an anxiety attack during third period. Counselors should be trained in protocols for students who are clinically depressed, anxious, or have any type of mental health disorder, so they can come up with the correct plans to help that student succeed and make it easier for them to be within the walls of the school. No student should have to be scared to enter a building, and no student should be scared of peer criticism and criticism from their adult mentors. The other issue for counseling is the lack of it within school. It is said that every school must have at least one counselor on staff, but only one. I've been to a school where there have been about 500 students, and there is one counselor for all of those students. The ratio of kids to counselors is unbalanced, and if a student does actually want to make an appointment with them, it is making it even harder for them to actually get the help that they need. In a 2016 report, it said that Minnesota had the worst student-to-counselor ratio with 1 to 743, which is far from the recommended 1 to 250. Now, the report did come out in 2016, but if we look at Stillwater's current ratio, there are about 3,000 students in the school, and we have 8 counselors on hand every single day. That's almost 1 to 400, and that's not counting for when counselors are out on maternity leave, out on sick, or just not in the office that day. So not only do we not have the counselors that are trained and qualified to help a student that is struggling with mental health, there needs to be an increase in mandatory amount of counselors, preferably in the interest of student-to-counselor ratios. Teachers and counselors are very important in creating a stable and safe environment for a student. Schools have made it clear that they are working towards helping students in mental health awareness, but they aren't implementing any new tactics and resources for the students, but instead you see that happening from the student body themselves. You hear a lot of schools saying that they want to be more supportive towards mental health, but words without change aren't going to help. One of my favorite quotes reads, if not now, then when? Anxiety and depression among 12 to 17-year-olds has and only will continue to increase, and if there isn't a physical change being made, there's going to be an even more rapid increase in kids who are suffering and will not be able to have the resources for help. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for your testimony and being willing to share your very personal story. Thank you. Next up, we have Addison Marrier, then Zeke Soto, and then Allie Lampa. Addison? Welcome. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
I'm Addison Marrier. Good morning. I appreciate you all for allowing me to come up here and share my perspective. I'm Addison Marrier, a ninth grader at Northern Lights Community School, located up in Warba. It's in northeastern Minnesota. As of October, I was elected a MapStars officer. And I've come here today to share my experience about NLCS and to spread awareness of just how to spread awareness of just how amazing alternative learning is. I've been attending NLCS for a little over a year now, and I've gained much more experience, knowledge, and friends than I did in the 8 years I went to traditional school. By my first day at NLCS, I knew it was the school for me. The kids were friendly but not pushy. The teachers were respectful and supportive. Project-based learning at NLCS fits me 1,000 times better than my last school. Issues with grades and bullying have stopped, and I'm thriving. I wasn't going to go into what the bullying was, because I'm afraid I might cry, but while attending the traditional school, I was afraid to go to school every day because kids were calling me a mutt and barking at me. And they said that if I tried to be friends with them, they would beat me up. But it's all right, because now I'm at a better school. And I know that many other kids going through the same thing I did could benefit from this type of education as well. Never before had I thought school could be an enjoyable place to be. But now I know what it's like to truly love your school, and although it's not perfect, I don't think any good school truly is. NLCS changed the way I view the education system and the people in it. I want other people to know that there's other options besides traditional schooling, and I'd like to thank you again for allowing me the platform to speak about my experience and share my perspective surrounding this type of learning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being so brave to share your story. Next up, we have Zeke Soto, and then we have Ali Lampa, and then LeBron Owen. So go ahead, Zeke. And Zeke is remote, I believe. Welcome. Go ahead. State your name for the record and proceed.
I am Zeke Soto. I am from the Minnesota Valley Area Learning Center in Montevideo, Minnesota. And I am a MAP Center State Officer, and I represent my school in ALC. And I'm going to tell you about my story a little bit on why I think alternative learning is actually, like, helpful to me, and I think it could also help others. During my sophomore year, where all of my reasons of me going to the school began was, when I used to go to a traditional school, during COVID, I did online, and my grades and stuff were all going down really fast. I was doing really bad, and just in the traditional school, it was hard, especially talking to teachers. You can't really talk to teachers. There's so many students. Everybody's everywhere. Teachers got other stuff to do. But I ended up going to the ALC, and that kind of changed a lot better. But the teachers there were so much helpful. They were down with the students. They weren't, like, just there for their paychecks or anything. They were actually there to help students. I've been there about 2 years now. I went there last year, and give me a second.
And take the time you need.
It was kind of hard, like, in the traditional school in a way, I guess. Also, me going to, like, being a person of color as well was kind of hard. It was just, like, teachers didn't really like us. Sometimes some teachers some teachers would get fired because of that, of, like, doing stuff to colored kids. And me going to the ALC kind of, like, it was a mixture of everything, everybody, some traditional schools would think, oh, it's an ALC. Those kids are the worst. They're never going to graduate. They're not going to do this and anything in life. But it's just as good as an traditional school. I went there and I loved it so much. I made new friends and all. And I was also told about a program there. It was called Map Stars, and I wanted to join it. And this year I became a state officer for Map Stars at my school. And I knew me being an officer would help get my voice out to show that alternative learning can help anybody. And especially of people of color that go to these schools, or people that are trying to transfer from a traditional school, knows that alternative learning is also a different way to go to. And I think, I'm sorry, give me a second. The school, MAPSTARS and all kind of helped me as well a little bit to speak in public because I also can't really speak in public. And it's just overall alternative learning is just very great for kids that don't feel like want to be in a big high school or anything. And that's all. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm married to a 28-year veteran teacher. I always get it wrong, but he taught in alternative learning centers, too, and I know what a valued resource they are. Thank you for sharing. Next up, we have got Allie Lampa, who's also remote.
Hi, my name is Allie Lampa, and I'm a junior at Mesabi East High School, which is located in Aurora, Minnesota, and it's about an hour north of Duluth. So within my school, I definitely think we need more funding, because in the past, and even now, it's been difficult to keep programs and clubs up and alive because we don't have the funding for them. And being able to have funds would open up more opportunities for myself and my peers, and our school would be able to offer us more, as well as helping students in the school district that don't have your common necessities, such as food, drinking and running water, shelter, clean clothes, and shampoo and conditioner. And if we had more funds, we could help these students more instead of staff members having to pay for these things out of their own pockets and out of the kindness of their hearts because they want to help these students. And as previous speakers have stated, we are understaffed at schools. My school has had to let go teachers, paraprofessionals, custodians, and more that are not tenured due to not being able to pay them. And I also think that we need more programs such as after school or in school programs for those that are failing or not on the road to graduate from high school. Many students within my school are failing one, if not all, of their classes. And the reasons for this may vary, but the outcome is still the same. And I think we need some type of program to help those kids out, to want them to graduate and to want them to pass. And my mom is a paraprofessional at my high school. She sees what all these kids go through and she wants to help these kids. So I definitely believe more programs and better programs for students that are failing within my high school is something that we definitely need. And that is all I have for you guys. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing. Next up, we have LeBron Owen and then Karma Carter. LeBron is also remote. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is LeBron Owen. I'm from North Education Center in New Hope. I go through a lot outside of school because when I was growing up, I ain't never had no real family to like care for me and live for that I could rely on to be there for me. And school was never like the top option. It was always trying to find somebody to get me to where I needed to be. And then I would always get kicked out of school. Since I was a freshman, I'm a senior now. I was in 6 schools, and 3 of them were special education schools. I got kicked out of the 2 mainstream schools because I would never go to class. I would mess around, and I would not be in class at all.
What do you feel like you need, man?
I don't really know. I go through so much out of school that, you know, I miss a lot of days at school because I go through depression, anxiety, and I'm always thinking something's behind my back. Somebody's trying to do something behind my back. And it's really hard to worry about multiple things in school. I get good grades. I'm smart. I'm very smart. But it's like going to school is the main struggle for me. And I grew up in foster homes where we would do school and I would run away from school. I would go home and not do nothing. I will go home and wonder when I'm going to eat next. But here at NEC, I see that everybody's surrounding me with loving arms, and they all want nothing but the best for me. And I really appreciate that, because I don't have nobody else for that. And that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Next up, we have Karma Carter, and I believe that's our last student for the day. And then we'll open it up for member questions.
Hello, my name is Karma Carter. I attend Jennings Community School located in St. Paul. Right now, I'm currently a senior, and today I'm going to kind of walk you through a little bit of my experience because I feel like it's kind of necessary to what we're going through today. So I'm going to just be honest, and I'm not really going to censor my experience, which I feel like is fair to all of us. So when I was a child, when I was a baby, I was sold into trafficking by my parents. Which is something that's very hard for a lot of people to hear. You know, that's not, unfortunately, it's not that unusual. About roughly five years ago, I got kicked out of the home that I was living in also. And my safety was kind of in jeopardy. I was only 12-ish, 13-ish at the time, and I was sleeping in alleyways, abandoned buildings, and getting adopted by gang members in California, which is probably one of the worst places to be homeless as a little girl. About 2 years ago, roughly, I came to Minnesota. I hitchhiked, which is very dangerous. And I honestly always was looking for a school to get into because I knew school was probably one of the only places I could get out of the situation I was in. I saw the people around me, and fortunately for me, a lot of the times I got adopted by very kind people, but I also knew where they were. Being homeless and being on a lot of drugs was not a place that I wanted to see myself in the future. About a year and a half ago, I started attending an alternative school, and this is the first time I've ever attended an alternative school, and things were a lot different. This is after years of not being in school at all and having to go to libraries just to study. That year, I decided to join MAP Stars just because I thought maybe it'd be extracurricular, and they were teaching life skills there as well that I very much so needed. After being on the streets and raising myself my entire life, I didn't have anyone to teach me these life skills, like applying for jobs, doing job interviews, giving speeches, being able to talk. And because of my experience, of course, you know, I had a lot of trauma, and I didn't like socializing, so this was a really big step for me. But thanks to them, I'm here today, you know? And less than 10 days ago, I turned 18, but as you know, I've been an adult my whole life, not by choice. And I'm thankful to be here, of course, but it's hard to know that a lot of the students at my school, even, that I've talked to, students I've met at STARS that are coming all over across from Minnesota, a lot of them can relate to me, which, while I do find comfort in the fact that I'm not the only one, it also brings me a lot of pain knowing a lot of other students are going through the same thing. They don't have people. A lot of us, we need schools. School is, like, still my safe space, you know? And, like, I didn't have transportation, I didn't have anyone backing me up, supporting me, and thanks to my school, they pay for a taxi that drives an hour away from that school to drive me to school every morning. And if I need to cancel, I can just call them, I can cancel. I struggle with health issues. And like up until less than 10 days ago, I was considered missing because safety. These schools, they're very important because they put our safety first, you know, and they actually care about us. And there's this big stigma about having bad students and bad kids, and I'm telling this to all of you who are parents, grandparents, potential parents, even the students that are here today, there is no such thing as a bad kid. No such thing. And so that you can never let anyone tell you that. There's absolutely no such thing as a bad kid. A lot of these children are traumatized, are hurt, are misguided, and they need us more than ever. And I don't even know why this needs to be even a debate, to be honest, because these are students, these are kids, and one day they're gonna grow up to adults and be adults, and they're gonna remember this. And I just hope that they're happy with the choices that are made today, and I'm very grateful for even being here, being able to talk to you, because if you told me, like, even a year ago that I'd be here, even 2 years ago, I would not have believed you. And so thank you, everyone. And thank you to all the students who shared your experiences. And please do not ever feel like anyone's trauma is bigger than yours, because trauma is incomparable. So your stories are all very important, and everyone's life is just as important. I mean, we're growing, so thank you.
Thank you so much. I think you did something that a lot of people can do, and that's leave us all speechless. So thank you so much for being here. With that, members, I would like us to open it up to questions, but also just please be kind and gentle with our students who are so brave to come here today and share their stories. And go ahead. And we had a few of our remote learners that had to go back to class. But otherwise, if students feel comfortable answering questions, great. If you don't, you do not have to. So I just kind of open it up for discussion or comments. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Joachim. Just a message of great thanks and gratitude for all of our student speakers here today. Powerful stories, every last one of them. And as we move forward and do the important work of this committee, my request to my fellow committee members is that we constantly keep our students in mind as we move through the weeks ahead and the session ahead. So please, thank you to all of our students. Wonderful work.
Thank you, Representative Hill. Representative Edelson.
Thank you. And I want to, all the MapStar students, I love your outfits, the black with the yellow ties. I see you. And I loved how several of the testifiers had said they were nervous about testifying in this committee. I think many of our members, I want you to know, are nervous to speak into these microphones as well. And we don't talk about that very often. And many of us that are elected have our own stories. I believe I talked to one of you or a few of you yesterday about my story. And I want you guys to know I was homeless when I was 16 as well. I had a mother that struggled with a severe addiction to drugs and alcohol. And now I represent Edina, one of our wealthiest communities in the state of Minnesota. I was the first to go to college. And that was always so hard for me because I think, like our last testifier said, is we have all this stigma. How do I fit in? How do I get to, you know, have the job that other people want? And we do that by speaking up, by using our voice, and by saying that we belong here. And I want you to know you belong here and that you are smart, you are brave, and I am so thankful to your teachers, too, that are here for being really supportive. So thank you, and again, love the outfits because I like fashion.
Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to express my gratitude to each and everyone who shared your experiences and your realities. I think I want to echo my colleague, Representative Heather, just on behalf of, you know, talking about our differences. Sharing those stories and holding on to them and making them be your fuel to reach your highest potential. It's unfortunate that, yeah, there are educators right here in our state, in our backyards, that will not do their job, that will not allow the child to seek what they want to do, what they want to be, how they want to be represented, or even ask about their stories. Their stories are real. they're not these fictional, they're realities. And you all gave us the realness to heart. And I want you to keep it real, keep it 100, like I like to tell my students all the time with yourselves. That's the most important thing. And what you did today, a lot of folks don't have maybe the energy anymore. A lot of our youth are seeing the leadership in our high school students. Recognize that these are the spaces in which we want to amplify your voices so that we don't have to live in these disparities anymore. So that our children, so that y'all could feel the necessities that you need being fulfilled. I do have a question, and maybe one of the students can answer, is how has arts and music helped in your coping or way to be able to express the trauma that you have gone through?
And we have, go ahead. We have Meyer Disher coming forward. Just state your name for the record again so folks listening to this later know. And then go ahead and make your comments.
Thank you so much. I'm Maya Disher from Stillwater Area High School. This is something that I was actually considering talking about today, and I decided to vouch for a different topic. But now that you bring it up, I was raised by two music lovers. My dad was in an international band. My mom played in orchestra and band in high school. My grandma was even on Broadway, and my sister is an actor out in New York. I was raised in a very art-loving community. I have a very soft spot and a very big passion for it as well. I am a journalist. I am a writer. I love to read. I love all of my art classes in my school, and it does actually, I know this doesn't align with the question, but it does actually really hurt to know that art classes are the first things being cut, because creativity is one outlook and one thing that many people don't actually consider when speaking upon mental health. You need that creative outlook. You need those things that you can kind of rely on. I am also a dancer. I use that craft in order for myself to be able to communicate my emotions and my feelings that I can't really speak. And as a writer, when I can't speak, you know I am not. you know I am not in the right place to be able to speak my mind. And having that other outlook is something that needs to be considered. Cutting art programs, cutting music programs, cutting acting programs aren't necessarily the best thing, because I also love STEM. And I'm sorry, I'm so rambling right now. No, I love STEM, I love math, but I also love drawing, and I love singing, and I love acting, and I love dancing. Those are things that I can really put my heart into and not feel judged for anything. That community is so open to everyone having their own point of view, having their own voice, and never has a flaw, I would say. And I know that's kind of awkward to say, but nothing's ever wrong when it comes to art. You can't be wrong. You can't be judged. You can't base art because you are more talented than someone. Everyone is talented in art. And it's one of those things that really needs to be more expressed within school systems, because when a student can't express their creativity, they can't use their voice, and they aren't learning those skills in order to be authentically them. Thank you, and sorry for the ramble.
Thank you, and it's so nice to know that the journalism classes hopefully are as extensive as they were when I was in Stillwater, and I hope the literary magazine is still alive there. But we also have Karma Carter wanting to mention something, too. Please state your name for the record again and proceed.
Hello, I'm Karma Carter again. art and just in general, like, the arts have been a big help for not only me, but a lot of other students at our school. The fact that we go on a lot of field trips, including, like, and even coming here and even seeing the art at the buildings, going to, like, art carnivals, stuff like that, has, like, kind of helped tremendously with just people being able to express themselves. Personally, I play roughly 10 instruments, and I am self-taught in most of them. However, in my woodwind instruments, I have been trained, which is, like, I'm very happy about. And it's helped me so much with just coping in general, especially with a lot of the things that I've gone through. Being able to cope in a way where, like Maya, I believe that's her name, was saying that, in a way where you cannot be judged is like extremely important. And what I like, especially at my school, is the fact that they spend a lot of time in like, whether it's woodshop, like painting, like pottery, they kind of let you explore all the different kinds of things and builds, which is really helpful because there's so many students who like arrived at our school wanting to be like a professor or something like that. And like, they soon found out they had a passion for like pottery, and then they're like, oh, now I want to do pottery. You know, that's very important. And it also helps a lot with like brain development. And it's impeccable. And also seeing just students like explore these things and create beautiful and amazing art pieces. Like, there's nothing more rewarding than seeing my peers thrive in like ways other than school. So that's really all I have to say about that. It's an amazing way of coping and helping us through. And the fact that alternative schools focus on that is really helpful.
Thank you so much. And Representative Perez Vega, follow up.
Just great answers, guys. Thank you.
Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much to all of the students that took time to speak to us today. Your brave stories, I mean, they really are incredible. And I will tell you, myself at that age would have never been able to speak in front of a room of adults. And so I commend you for your effort, for your well-thought-out notes. And it's very sad, many of the things that we heard, the stories that we hear is the mental health crisis that we're getting in the schools. And that's something that I would like to explore more is, you know, this mental health crisis of what's happened, especially after the pandemic and the stress that's happening on our children. It really is a tragedy. Many of you, I heard, we don't all fit in one box. We're all very different. Some of you said you enjoy STEM. Some of you said you enjoyed music. Some of you enjoy art. And I love that. And for my education perspective, right now, I feel like we should be funding children, not buildings. We should allow those dollars to follow children so they would have these choices, that they could go to exactly to the facility that best fit them, that best fit their needs, that best fit what their desires are. And I think today there was so many of you that testified exactly to what I feel and what I would like to see us move towards and other states are moving towards, and that is funding the child. That is funding the student. That is having our tax dollars support the student and their needs and to reach them at the level that they are at. And so again, I just want to thank you for your bravery. I want to thank you for your testimony today. And thank you for bringing this to committee and making us all aware that each of you have these unique opportunities that we can look at if we're brave here in the state legislature, that we can look at how we can finance schools in a different way so that we can support all of these children exactly where they're at.
Thank you, Representative. Just a reminder, our alternative schools and our intermediate schools are public schools too. So,
right.
Yeah, just wanted to throw that out there. Representative Ream.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm really inspired by all the students who testified today. I think it took a lot of courage. Someone said that mental illness is a physical illness, and that's true. I know we have the Mental Health Parity Act where that's made that possible to treat mental illness the same way they treat another illness. The brain is a physical organ in your body. So I'd love for us to work on ending the stigma over mental health issues. I myself suffer from anxiety. It's hard for me to talk in groups of people, so I feel your courage, and I really appreciate you speaking out for your fellow students, for yourselves. It's really amazing and inspiring. I think it was Ms. Avery Adams from Stillwater who said, the answer is not to punish our students, but find a way to support them. And I think that's what we need to do here. We need to make sure that we're not punishing students when they're absent from school because they have a mental health crisis or they're having, you know, issues at home. I think we really need to make sure that our schools are safe places. And that's been brought up. I know someone mentioned how the library was a safe place for that person. And so we are funding buildings when we're funding schools. We are funding teachers and support staff. You know, we've been through a lot. We've been through the murder of George Floyd. We've seen the gun violence in our schools increase. We've had a racial reckoning. You know, there's just so many things. The pandemic, it's all made, has exacerbated the mental illness crisis we're facing. And so, you know, when I would door knock, I would tell people we need to fund our schools and make sure that we have enough mental health support for our kids. I know in Minnesota, and one of the students brought this up, we have a terrible ratio of counselors to students here in Minnesota, and we need to fix that. And I think we will be fixing that this session. But yeah, I just want to say thank you to all those who testified. I'm inspired by you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Other folks, anybody else want to say, even speak to the students and let them know what you're thinking or ask a question? While we have our experts, these are our experts today to let us know what's going on in schools. All right.
I do, sorry.
Yes, good. Representative Spencer Morrell.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the really brave students that have shared with us today. I'm kind of holding two things coming out of this hearing and listening to these really important voices. I think on the one hand, we heard all the ways that our students, our schools are not currently meeting the moment for our students. We heard about, you know, the ways that our mental health systems and schools are not meeting the moment. We heard about the ways that our teaching staff is not necessarily meeting the needs. And I think we heard a lot of really powerful voices talking about, I think one thing that I wrote down was just school was one of the only ways I could get out of a situation. And I think I'm reminded from this hearing about for so many young people, schools, as imperfect as they are a lifeline for a lot of our students. They are a safety net for our students. And so I guess my question to students, I think, is around, like, how should we as a state be kind of measuring whether a school is serving its students well, right? Like, you know, we... some of the metrics we currently use, you know, our test scores or what students at a high school go on to do after graduation. But I think from all the things we heard today, like, schools are playing such a bigger role than that. And so, yeah, I think my question is around, like, how should we be measuring school success?
That is one of our big questions, Representative Spencer Mura. Would anybody like to take a... Great. Please state your name for the record again and proceed.
Hello, I'm Karma Carter. I feel like one of the ways we can, like, measure kind of how these schools are, these schools' outcomes, is not really necessarily just by the test scores, because, to be honest, you really, I really believe you can't really kind of judge a person based on, like, their test scores, because, you know, like, their knowledge is so much more than that. Though, of course, you know, considering that being one of the ways, you know, that schools are kind of measured, I feel like also just knowing how these students are kind of being helped, how many of these students are being helped, and if they got enough help after the fact that they have graduated, were they kind of just taught algebra and then thrown out in the real world to figure out what taxes is, or if they were actually taught, like, life skills, like I said, which are very important. That's one of the main things. Also, just how many resources does each school have to actually help each individual student? Like some of the other students were saying from the other schools, like, they don't have enough workers and stuff like that, like social workers and counselors. And, like, how many students are actually getting evaluated? Are we sitting down with these students and, like, learning, hey, how are you today, you know? Like,
small things like that make a big difference. And I feel like just how much we're focusing on the students is like a really good way of like kind of just judging how decent this school is and like where their priorities are actually lying. Is it with the students or is it with the teachers? Because unfortunately, a lot of the times it's like we're only focusing on the teachers or we're only focusing on the students. And I feel like without an even balance, we're just asking for chaos. Mm-hmm. So that being said, just how much are we focusing on the students and how much are we actually helping the students is a good way. And a way of knowing is checking up on these students after they graduate high school, because I feel like they're in school all their lives. This is their life, and just school is like a really big part of where a person can end up in the future. And a lot of people don't realize this, that, hey, you're going to a job. Yes, essentially you're a teacher, you're getting paid to do this, but this is not just a job for us. This is not just school for us. This is our entire lives. And, you know, like we were saying, for some of us, this is the only way out, you know? So, yeah. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. I think another student wants to speak to this too. Thank you so much. Please state your name for the record again. I think we have a few more after that too. So you asked a good question, Representative Sensenbrenner.
Hello, I'm Avery Adams. So I think it is extremely important that we have a way to measure this change and measure the progress that we're making so we know what we're doing and if it's right. And I think that's a hard thing to measure because it's going to be seen in many different ways. So I do a lot of different stuff in my school, like with student-led mental health initiatives, and we take a lot of data. So within our school, we right now in the Mental Health Coalition, I'm working on getting a grade level thing based on the level of stress that they're feeling, what that stress is caused by, and getting that data so we can use that data to help them in the best ways possible. And I think it'll be difficult to get data and accurate data of if we're making progress and what is causing this progress, but I think it's important that we're getting that from the students instead of just test scores and superficial things like that that can be changed.
Great, thank you. And I think Oscar Wolf wants to say something too, so state your name for the record again and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Sensenbrenner, for the question. I think that there is a need to have quantitative data on these things. We want to be able to have a number where we say, we were here, now we're here, and the numbers say so. But the real measurement of schools can't always be put into numbers. Of course, there are certain things that are useful measurements. I personally don't think that standardized tests should be just disregarded. They're flawed. They do have cultural biases. Wealth is a huge indicator of success on that. So they need to be looked at critically, but they're still useful. So I think combining all of the data that we have is extremely important, but also an understanding that we don't always have numbers to describe the success of schools. In my opinion, the success of schools is determined by the students. Did our schools get our students to where they want to go? When we're measuring how successful students are we saying you have to become a doctor to be successful, you have to become a lawyer to be successful? Not all students want that. The purpose of a school is to prepare a student for what they want in life. So I think one possible way to put it into quantitative terms would be to ask students 10 years out, 25 years out, did your school prepare you for what you wanted to do in life? Has it worked out? That's not a short-term solution. That's not going to be immediately satisfying with the snap of a finger, but I think it's the reality of the situation. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing. Anybody else want to add? Oh, no, we have another taker. Please state your name for the record again and proceed.
Hi, I'm Maya Disher again. There are two things that I really, that really struck me when that question was asked, and one of them was I was raised
in a way where I didn't learn the same way as everyone else. I do have ADHD. It's very hard for me to be able to concentrate in a class, and it's also very hard to keep me motivated in class due to my anxiety and my depression and keep that spark alive in me. And something that I have found that's been very helpful, I did learn maybe when I was in my freshman year of high school, a teacher once told me something that is said to be said by Albert Einstein. I have not done my own research on it, but it's like you can't measure the success of, like they took it by animals, I'm pretty sure. It's like you can't measure the success of a fish, of a snake, of an alligator, of a whale, all in the same way. They all do different things differently, and they all learn things differently. They adapt to their surroundings in their own way. If you try and grade everyone based off of sitting in a lecture, taking detailed notes, and then expecting them to finish a 50-point test, you're not going to see the same outcomes for each and every person. And that's not because everyone isn't putting their best foot forward. Can't speak for everyone on that. But I know for myself, if I'm sitting in a lecture and I'm trying to take detailed notes, you're not going to have my attention. You're not going to build that spark in me to actually want to learn those things. I have teachers who have catered to my needs by making it very hands-on, playing games, working towards extra credit, actually encouraging a student to make it more fun. Education isn't something that should feel like a chore, and I know a lot of students today do feel like it is a chore. It should actually have a spark in you. You should want to be able to learn these things and figure out what you want to do in your later in life. I think a great way to measure that is figure out where a student came from and where they ended up by freshman to senior year. I liked, I cannot remember his name, but he made a very good point. It was like maybe asking people 10 years out. If you want to ask people between freshman and senior year, how did you grow? What did you learn? Did you build more passion, build more ambition? Personal success isn't defined based off of whether or not you have a doctorate or a master or whether or not you are the top of your class in high school. Personal success is defined based off where you started and where you've come to. And I know that my personal success is not as successful as maybe our valedictorian in our school, but I feel I've made a lot of personal success in myself and become a much well-rounded person in everything and everything that I have a passionate ambition on. Thank you so much.
I appreciate so much the student stories and really does reflect on how we have to talk about our students as whole students, whole people coming in with social-emotional learning is almost just as important as academics. But Representative Edelson, you had another?
Can I just respond quickly?
I'm sorry, Representative Edelson.
No. I was just going to say, I think members of the committee, we can go home and let students take over.
Our future is extremely bright with the students in this room right now. Thank you, Representative Sensenmura, and thank you for asking such a thought-provoking question. Representative Edelson.
I don't know the student's name, Madam Chair, but the student that would have the student-led mental health group, if you could just come back up for just a moment. As a therapist, I really value the work that you're talking about here, and I think that's a really important area that all the students had mentioned, exhaustion, mental health. What I want to know, and the one thing, you know, we do want to increase our ratios in the schools. We also know that we have a therapist and a mental health, in people in my profession, there's a shortage. And so it will take students, organizing and doing what, and I guess what I'm wondering is if you could tell us a little bit more about what your student-led mental health group looks like, and is the school supporting it? Do you have a clinician that's also supporting your work?
Yeah, so I actually
could you please state your name for the record again?
Oh, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Avery Adams. I actually have a few different ones that I started this year. So I noticed a big mental health problem in our school. I noticed how big the issue was and how many people were feeling so unsupported. So this year I decided to take initiative, make that change. So there are probably two main ones that I've been working on. So the first one is Bring Change to Mind, which is, it was started by Glenn Close, and it's a national foundation where they open chapters in states. So early this year, I applied to get a chapter opened, and we've been working in our school on that. I have the social worker as the advisor. She's been so helpful. And Bring Change to Mind, the actual organization, is what gives us funding. So we get funding from that to do activities and do work on that. And then the other mental health thing that I do in our school is the Mental Health Coalition,
which is a teacher, two other students, and I. And the main thing that we did was we made a QR code around the school that has all of the resources, because we'd had all of these resources, but they were so underutilized because nobody knew about them. So we put them all in one place, and we've made it our mission to keep that updated and keep that available for all students. And that's what we've been working on. And now we're going to move into collecting data so we know what our next step should be.
Thank you, Representative Ellison. Paula?
Well, Avery, you are, that's really amazing. I hope you will share that with other schools as well. And I think it's a great leadership opportunity for young people to be able to help. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, any other comments or questions? All right. I'm trying to watch body language too this evening. All right. I just want to once again echo everyone in saying thank you to our students that came here today. As Representative Sensenmura said, we could just all go home and let you take over, because our future is really bright with the minds and the passion that are in this room today. And I want to echo what Representative Altendorf and Representative Hill said about keeping our students in the forefront of our minds when we're making decisions, because I think that taught us a lot today to hear that. And I know all of you spend time in your schools and with kids and the kids you have yourselves and the students in your community to continuing this conversation. And also to reiterate, I'm blanking out on who mentioned this, but how our schools really do need to be that safe space for everyone that we have in our districts. And then I'll leave it on the note of what one of our students, Karma Carter, said the best, and that is there are no bad students. There just are no bad students. And we're lucky to have them all in our communities. So with that, members, we are adjourned.